Good evening. It's great to worship the Lord both morning and evening. Please open your Bible to the book of Matthew, Gospel Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Last week, we just studied the preface of the Lord's Prayer. To whom you pray? You pray to your Heavenly Father. Today, we will look into the first petition. Hallowed be your name. Here is the word of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for the Sabbath day you gave us, and also let us rest upon your word, and give us the confidence to pray to hallow your name. Father, you give us the reverence to your name. Let us and let all the nations know that you are the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the past days, an anesthetist is often plays an important role when a woman is going to labor. One woman was so grateful for her anesthetist help that she told him, "I'm so happy that everything went so well, and so I'm going to name my son after your name." So, by the way, what's your first name? He replied, "Thorndike." Well, there was a pause, and she asked, "Do you have a middle name?" Each name has its meaning in it, doesn't it? But today, people don't care much about it. That's not the case in the biblical times. In the book of the Bible, names are important, especially the name of God. So our text today reminds you that pray that the name of God would be glorified eternally, in all his works, in your life, and in the person and work of Jesus. So first, pray that the first petition fervently, because it is an everlasting petition. In the Lord's Prayer, there are six petitions. The first three are about the God's name, and the God's kingdom, and the God's will. They are all about your Heavenly Father, the Holy God. The last three petitions are about your daily bread, your willingness to forgive, and your deliverance from evil. Very clear, God first, human second. But actually, the last three petitions, they are also about God, because God gives you bread. God protects you from evil. God forgives you your debt. So you should see that the Lord's Prayer, they are really God-centered. They are really God-centered. So think about the content of your daily prayer. Examine how much of them was focused on God. You know, the Lord's Prayer is an outline for you to pray every day. So your prayer should also be God-centered. Then the question, why the first petition first? Why the first petition first? Because it is an everlasting petition. You don't only pray it for today. Even when you go to heaven, when you are in heaven, you will still pray the first petition. The Puritan Thomas Watson said, "Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be thy name. It is the first and the great petition. It contains the most weighty thing in religion, which is God's glory. When some of the other petitions shall be useless and out of date, as we shall not need to pray in heaven, give us our daily bread, because there we shall be no hunger. Nor forgive us our trespasses, because there shall be no sin. Nor lead us not into temptation, because the old serpent is not there to tempt. Yet the hallowing of God's name will be of the great use and request in heaven. Isn't it amazing? The first petition will be an everlasting one. Your prayer connects with the eternity. You might pray differently when you are in heaven. You might ask this question: will we have a new version of Lord's Prayer when we are in heaven? Well, to be honest, I don't know. I'm not such kind of prophet. And Jesus also didn't teach on that. But he did teach you that in Matthew chapter 6, to pray in this manner today. To pray in this manner today, and to pray God's name would be hallowed, would be glorified. Even when you are in heaven, you will also pray with the angels to praise the name of the Lord. The first petition is an everlasting petition. Why the first petition first? Because the glory of God is first. You seek it above all. In this petition, you confess that your first concern in your prayer is not about your earthly well-being. You love peace. And yet, if your father sends war, then his name will be hallowed in and through the war. You love blessings. And yet, if you are led in ways of depression, hunger, suffering, sorrow, persecution for Christ's sake, then his name will be hallowed in and through those difficulties. That's how your master, Jesus Christ, suffered in this world. Jesus, he didn't seek his earthly well-being in his prayer. He prayed for the glory of the Lord, the glory of his heavenly Father. You are his disciple. You will pray in the same way. You will pray in this manner. Your prayer connects with the eternity. So the first petition is an everlasting petition. Hallowed be your name. Your Father in heaven will glorify his own name through you and through all things. Second, pray that the name of God is glorified in knowing his name. In Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 101, what do we pray for? What do we pray for in the first petition? The answer, in the first petition, which is, hallowed be thy name, we pray that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all that whereby he makes himself known, and that he would dispose all things to his own glory. God's name reveals God's character, the fullness of who God is. The word hallow means to set apart as sacred and pure. So the person who prays, hallowed be your name, is asking that God's awesome and holy character would be on display to the world. When you pray, hallowed be your name, you are imploring God to glorify himself. Especially, you are asking God, his name, to be glorified by yourselves and the other human beings. This petition has an evangelistic purpose. In Psalm 83:18, let them know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth. God's name is hallowed when human beings declare that he is holy. To hallow God's name is to glorify his name. Will you pray for that? Can your prayer add anything to his essential glory? No. But when you are said to honor and sanctify his name, when you lift him up in this world and make him appear greater in the eyes of others. Thomas Watson said, when a prince is crowned, there is something added really to his honor. But when we crown God with our triumphs and the hallelujahs, there's nothing added to his essential glory. He cannot be greater than he already is. Only we may make him appear greater in the eyes of others. Today, people don't know God or have wrong understanding about God. Some people say God is too good to punish. Then the guilt of sin is not felt. They just want blessings from God. They don't want to deal with their own sins. By this, God's name is just acknowledged but not hallowed in their life. A full knowledge of God is necessary to hallow his name. Only through Jesus you may know God. Only through Jesus your sins are forgiven. Only through Jesus the name of God is glorified. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Then what's the real meaning of his name, Jesus? In Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, an angel of the Lord said to Joseph, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the name of Jesus is your Savior. The meaning is that he will save his people from their sins. Hallowed is an important and yet passive verb. It means that God would hallow his own name or cause it to be hallowed. God doesn't need any sinful human's help to do that. God glorifies his own name from eternal to eternal. Humans didn't even exist when God's glory was already there. God glorifies his own name through all his creations. God glorifies his own name perfectly in the language of incarnation. People can really know the name of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So pray that the name of God is glorified in knowing his name. Thirdly, pray that the name of God is glorified in all his works. In all his works. In the Old Testament, people of God took names seriously. They did not name their children after sports figures or film stars or Disney characters. They gave them names which reflects the essence of their divine calling. They understood that a name is not just a label. It is an identity. People do not just have names, they are their names. This is especially true when it comes to the holy name of God. It reveals his divine nature. He is Jehovah, the God who provides. He is El Shaddai, the mighty God. He is the shepherd, the rock. Whatever the name, God does what his name says. One name of God appears in the Old Testament for 7,000 times. It is the name Yahweh or Jehovah. God revealed himself to Moses, I am who I am. His self-existence, his self-sufficient, no one like him. You need to read your Bible to know your God. You need to know his history. Imagine that if you are a little boy and you stand before the great statue of Abraham Lincoln, will you show any respect to him? Well, if you don't study American history, you don't know that. You might only say that's a huge rock. You need the deep meaning behind it to understand it. The name of God is glorified in all his words. You need to read his words. People today don't take the name of God seriously. John Calvin said, "To hallow the name of God is simply to honor him as is his due. So as man shall not think or speak of him without the highest homage." The opposite of to hallow is to profane, which means when man forget his majesty or fail to render him the reverence and honor he deserves as God. If man don't hallow God's name and bring honor to him, God will get honor upon them. In Exodus chapter 14, 17 to 18, the Lord said to Moses, "I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Pharaoh would not hallow God's name, he said. "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" He is very proud. God's power and just were glorified in his destruction. There are some people whom God has raised them to great power and dignity. If they will not honor God, God will get honor upon them in their final destruction. Herod did not give glory to God, but God got glory upon him. In Acts chapter 12:23, "Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied." If you read the Bible carefully, you will notice that the name of God is glorified in all his words. Do you love to read the word of God? Think about that. If you are a son or daughter of your family, you live far away from your home, you write to your father that you long to see him, you love your father dearly, your father gave a lot of letters for you to read, but you said, "No, I just want to see you. I just want your blessings, but I don't have time to read your words." Do you really love your father, or just love his blessings? So read your Bible, read his words, and pray that the name of the Lord is glorified in all his words. Fourthly, pray that the name of God is glorified in your life. Glorified in your life. Jesus Christ gave his life as a holy sacrifice for your sin. You are holy in God's sight. You are called to be saint. The Greek noun for saint comes from the same root as the Greek verb to hallow. You are sanctified to be the holy ones. His name will be hallowed in your life. When you are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God's name is glorified. And you ought to live a godly Christian life. It's not easy to do that, but pray for that. Ask God to make you holy in your actions. Do not use your body to do what is immoral or shameful. Instead, use your feet to spread the gospel, your hands to feed the poor. Ask God to make you holy in your words. Do not curse or complain, because this kind of talk profanes God's name. Use your mouth for blessing, for encouraging. Ask God to make you holy in your thoughts. Don't fill your mind with violence. Do not indulge in sexual fantasy. Instead, meditate on the Word of God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on the Word of God. They are your daily bread. Ask God to make you holy in your emotions. Put off your unrighteous anger and your self-pity. Put on the emotions of your Lord Jesus Christ. Love the things He loves. Hate the things He hates. Ask God to make you holy in your worship. Worship Him in a way He commands you to do. Seek the honor of His name. Worship Him with a holy and a devoted heart. That's the prayer in the first petition. Seek the holiness of God. Hallowed be your name. David Brainerd, the missionary to American Indians in your early history as a nation, he said, "My heaven is to please God and to glorify Him and to give all to Him. That is the heaven I long for. That is my religion, and that is my happiness. I do not go to heaven to be advanced, but to give honor to God." That's the heaven you will go to. It's not for yourself to be advanced. It's for the glory of God. So pray that the name of God is glorified in your life. Lastly, pray that the name of God is glorified in the person and the work of Jesus. In John chapter 12, 28, Jesus said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." For Jesus, it is his chief concern that the Father's name will be glorified. He was willingly to do that, even though it will lead him into the depths of death. Then what's the comfort to Jesus when he came to death? It is that he had hallowed God's name and brought glory to him. If you live in Christ, if you have hallowed and sanctified God's name, it will be no small comfort to you when you come to die. Think about that. At the hour of your death, all your earthly comfort will vanish. Your comfort is in the Lord. It's like that. A faithful servant who has been all day working in God's vineyard. When evening comes, he shall receive his pay. So be a faithful servant before the Lord. There is hope and reward in the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 38, verse 3, when Hezekiah was on his sick bed, it was his comfort that he prayed, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight." He was granted another 15 years in his life. Your prayer will be granted in Jesus Christ. He knows your need. He will reward you abundantly if you live faithfully to him. So are you ready to pray the first petition? Yes, you will pray before the Lord with trembling and fear. You will pray with your fully trust in him, no matter where he directs you. In this prayer, you just start a small beginning our new obedience to God. You receive this obedience from the life of Jesus Christ. So pray in this manner, hallowed be thy name. Pray that the name of God would be glorified eternally in all his works, in your life, and in the person and the work of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for your words to us and give us a reverence to your word. Often we pray for our earthly well-being. Well, Father, we have many limitations. We couldn't see your glory, but help us and open our eye to look upon your name, to look upon to heaven, to know that your glory is from eternal to eternal. And let our prayer is not so weak just on the earth, but will be strong and stronger to pray and to connect with your heavenly glory. Father, help us and let us grow spiritually up until heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond and sing Psalm 66a. 66a. Let's make a joyful shout to God. Sing the glory of his name. Please stand and sing Psalm 66a.